Our scripture reading comes from Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Amen.
At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again. Its shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump may die in the soil. And yet, at the scent of water, it will bud, and its shoots will grow as a plant. Those are lines from Job 14. And Gerald Jansen, who is a professor in Indianapolis, who has taught and written about the book of Job for over 40 years, argues that it's these lines in Job 14 that give us a really good metaphor for the story of Job. Because you could argue that Job at one time was like this big, huge tree, and he had green leaves and big, strong branches, and he brought shade to everyone who was under him. And everything was good in his life. Life was good. And then Job was cut down. Cut down to a stump. Through tragedy and through suffering, through losing his family, his children, and eventually his physical health, he was cut down to a stump. And as a stump, he started to complain and lament. Started wandering through the wilderness, questioning God and trying to figure out, meandering along, trying to figure out, why is God allowed this to happen to me? And yet, if Job could just receive a scent of water, if Job could just receive the divine rain from heaven for his parched soul, if Job could just receive baptism of spiritual moisture, then he would find healing and he would begin to grow again and he'd be able to move on. And maybe that's also a metaphor for many of us in this room. That for many of us in this room, maybe a time in your past, you felt like that big tree. Your leaves were green, and your branches were strong, and you were tall, and you brought shade, and life was good. Your relationships were good. Your marriage was good. Your life with your children was good. Your job was good. Church was good. Everything was good. And then all of a sudden, you were cut down to a stump. And then there's so many things that can cut you down. Your marriage can start going bad and that cuts you down. Dealing with a bully at school or dealing with difficulty with grades and that cuts you down. Or maybe something starts to frustrate you here at church and cuts you down. Maybe a situation with one of your children isn't going well, cuts you down. There's so many different things that can cut us down and make us into a stump. And as a stump, we complain and we lament and we wander through the wilderness and we question God and we meander along asking, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why am I experiencing this suffering? Why is life so hard for me? Why? And yet, if we could just have a scent of water, if we could just receive divine rain from heaven for our parched soul, if it could just be baptized in the spiritual moisture from above, then we could find healing, and then we could find restoration, and then we could move forward in life. Well, Job didn't just receive a scent of water. He received a whole storm cloud full of water. In fact, Job was almost blown away by the presence of God when God came to him in chapters 38 through 41. As we talked about last week, God comes to Job, and God begins to ask all these questions to Job. Two rounds of questions that equal about 70 questions at all. First round, God asked Job these questions about creation and about animals. Second round, God asked Job about two creatures, the Leviathan and the Behemoth. And the whole point of this questioning from God is to ask Job questions that he can't answer, to show that Job just doesn't understand it all, just doesn't comprehend all that God can do. Well, after the first round of questioning, Job has nothing to say to God. If you remember from last week, we talked about that. Chapter 40, verse 4, Job says to God, "I'm small and I have nothing to say." But then after the second round of questions, Job is ready to speak. He's ready to say something. He's ready to respond to what God has asked of him. He's come to some conclusions. And basically, here's what Job says. He says, "God, you know more than I do. And I was trying to speak about things that I didn't know. Therefore," Job says, "I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes." This is a peculiar verse to me. I don't know if it is to you, particularly because of that word repent. Because normally when we think about repent, we're thinking about turning away from sin and starting to do what is right. Well, in this case, what sin is Job repenting of? Job has argued all along this story that he is blameless before God. In fact, God himself said at the beginning of the book that Job fears God and is righteous. And yes, Job has been very raw and honest as he's talked to God over the past several chapters. But God doesn't condemn Job for his laments. In fact, if you keep reading in chapter 42, God condemns Job's friends for what they said, but he doesn't condemn Job. And so what sin does Job need to repent of? And I would argue that there is no sin that Job needs to repent of. Instead, I think this word is referring to something else. In Hebrew, the word here for repent is nacham. Say that with me, nacham. You got to get the guttural sound. It's kind of, stuff it back in your throat. Nacham. Well, that word can mean a couple of different things. It can mean repent, but it can also mean comfort. In fact, every other time that nacham is used in the book of Job, it is translated in our Bibles as comfort. And so I would submit that that's more of the idea that Job is trying to get at here in this verse. That Job is not saying to God, "I'm sorry, God," but instead he's saying, "God, I have comfort and I have peace. I've changed my mind and I'm moving on." In other words, Job was trying to communicate to God, "No longer am I going to be lamenting and complaining. No longer am I going to be insistent that I have my day in court with you. No longer am I going to be lashing out about the situation in my life. I have come to peace with where I am and I'm ready to move on." Now, I mentioned at the very beginning of this series on Job that there are times in life where we have anger in our hearts. And that anger kind of bubbles over into other people around us. And we can get angry with our spouse, we can get angry with our friends, we can get angry with our children, we can get angry with our coworkers, and sometimes we don't even know why we're angry. We're just kind of walking around with this terrible feeling in our souls. And I mentioned in the very beginning of this series that in most cases, the reason why we have that anger is because there's something not right between us and God. In fact, Dan tells me all the time, when married couples come into his office for marriage counseling, most of the time, the reason why their marriage isn't going well is because there's something not right between their relationship with God. And too often we carry around bitterness, resentment, and anger in our hearts because there's something that we're angry with God about and we haven't found the ability to move on. to move forward, to come to peace, to find comfort, and move on. And Job did. Job did. And how did Job do that? Well, from my perspective, Job was able to move on because he was able to come to grips with three key theological truths. And if you're going to move on from whatever's bothering you, angering you, whatever bitterness you have, envy that you have in your heart, you're going to have to come to grips with these three truths, okay? Number one, that there is hope in mystery. There's hope in mystery. Job figured out that there are some things in this life about God that he's never going to understand. That there are some ways that God works in this world that he is never going to comprehend. And that there are things that God allows in this world that he is not fully going to figure it all out. He came to grips with that. Came to grips with that in all those questions by God. He realized that God is mysterious. And he can't put God in a box. He can't tell God what to do because God is a creator and he is mysterious. We don't know all that God can do, will do, should do. We don't know it. Now, admitting that truth, admitting that truth is kind of scary. Because to admit that God, that we don't understand God fully, now we understand part of God. We understand what God has revealed to us. But to say, I don't understand God fully and that he is a mystery to me, that's a little bit scary because that means I can't control God. But Job realized that actually that is a very hopeful realization. John Claypool, in his book on hope, he said the very same thing. He said there is a whole lot of hope in understanding the mystery of God, and here's why. Because God is mysterious, we don't know what he's going to do. God can do anything. He has mysterious power. He can cause the blind to see. He can call the deaf to hear. He can cleanse the leper. He can raise the dead. There was no one in the first century who ever thought that God would raise Jesus from the dead. And yet he did. He has mysterious power to where we don't know all of what God can do. We can never imagine all the good that God can do. And so whatever you're going through right now in your life, whatever season you're dealing with right now in your life, there is hope for the future because we don't know what all God's going to do tomorrow. God can take whatever you're going through and he can do something incredible with it. We can't even imagine, as Paul says, what all God can do because he's mysterious. But there is hope. Mystery. Job came to that realization, God, you're God, and I'm going to trust in you. Then number two, Job came to the realization that there is transformation in faith. I mentioned in the very first sermon of this series that I think one of the critical questions of the book of Job is when the accuser or Satan asked Job, or asked God about Job, does Job serve God for nothing? Remember that question? And he asks that question because he's saying, God, you've blessed Job with all these physical blessings, and that's why he's trusting you. That's why he's following you. Take away those physical blessings, and then let's see what Job does. And so that's what happens. Job loses everything, loses all those physical blessings. And not only that, he starts to realize that there are certain assumptions that he has about God that are not exactly true. So what do you do when you lose everything and then things you thought about God that you were raised with are not exactly true? What do you do then? Job was forced to make a decision on, am I going to trust a way of life that I was raised in, or am I going to trust in God and who he is? And that's what Job does. Job realizes that my faith in God is not based on what I receive from God. It's not based on physical blessings. It's not based on the benefits that I receive from God. My faith in God is based on who God is. That he's the creator of heaven and earth. That he is the redeemer of mankind through Jesus Christ. That he dwells within the church through his Holy Spirit. And because of who he is, I'm going to trust in him. Even if I can't always understand him, I'm going to trust in him for who he is. And at the end of the story, that's where Job is. He's saying, God, you are God, and I'm going to follow you. Whether I'm blessed physically or not, I'm going to follow you. And then number three, Job realizes that there is contentment in submission. I mentioned last week that Job's questions are not all answered by God. The problems in Job's life are not all solved by God. And what do you do with that? I want us to be a church that welcomes questions. If you have questions about God or about the church or about the Bible, I want Southside to be a safe place where you can ask those questions. But I need to be honest with you. There are some questions that we ask that maybe you're not going to get a satisfactory answer to. And what do you do then? And there are going to be times in life where you think life should be, or where you think the church should be, or where you think things in your family should be, is not where they are. And that can be incredibly frustrating to us. And what do you do then? What do you do when life isn't working out the way you think it should work out? That's what happened to Job. And what Job realized, what he had come to a conclusion is I have to submit to God and his ruling of this world, and I've got to be content with that. And even if I don't have all my questions answered, and even though if my life isn't going the way that I thought it should go, I've got to be content with God being my God. And that's hard for us to do sometimes. Because we live in a culture that tells us that I can control a lot of things. And that I can be who I want to be. And the idea of submitting to God can be really, really difficult. But most of the time, the anxiety that we carry around in our hearts and in our minds is because of a feeling of discontent. And what will solve a lot of that anxiety is if I can come to a place like Job where I can say, God, you're God and I am not, and I submit to you. And I'm going to be content with where I am with you. That's hard to do. But Job did that. And because Job was able to realize these three things, he could find comfort and he could find peace and he could move on. Maybe a song that summarizes all of the transformation that happened in Job is a song written by a group called Mercy Me. It was written by the lead singer in this group, Mercy Me, Bart Millard. And Bart said he wrote this song about bad days. He said we all have bad days. We all have times where things are difficult and where it just seems like things aren't working out the way we want them to work out, and where we don't want to keep on doing what we know is right. He said what he does is he sings for God, stands on a stage and sings for God. He says, sometimes I have days where I don't want to do that anymore. And what do I do then? And so he wrote this song. This song's become kind of an anthem for me. He said, this song reconnects me back to God when I have those bad days. The song is called Even If. The words go like this. They say sometimes you win some and sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right, but right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down, but what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now in the chorus? I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing. A little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing, it is well with my soul. Then the chorus, I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you would say the word, but even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I can see Job singing that song, can't you? That Job has gone through this whole time of suffering and pain and tragedy. He was cut down to a stump. And then he says at the end of the book, I've changed my mind. I'm moving on. I'm not going to lament anymore. I know you could change all this. I know with one word you could take away all this pain. But even if you don't, Lord, my hope is in you. My faith is in you. My submission is to you, and I'm going to trust in you. And how did Job get to that point? How did Job get to that place of comfort and peace to where he could move forward? I think the answer is found in verse 5 of chapter 42. When Job says, after his encounter with God, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Job says, I'd heard of you before. I don't know how Job had heard of God. Maybe from his parents or his grandparents or friends or family. But he says, now my relationship with you has gone a step forward. We've gone deeper because now I've seen you. Before I knew all about you, before I knew the rules to follow that you've asked us to, before I knew the tasks to do for you, but now I know you. That's what Job is saying. Now I know you. And because I know you, I'm going to trust you. Because I know you, my hope will be in you. Because I know you, I'm going to submit to you. And I'm moving on. Church, I want you to listen to me right now, please. If your spiritual life is struggling right now, if you've been cut down to the stump and you're looking for that scent of water, if you're coasting spiritually and you're not growing and you're just going through the motions because that's just what we do as Christians sometimes, if that's where you are, here is where you can find that scent of water to quench your parched soul. Here's where you can find the divine rain from heaven that can come down to your soul. Here's where you can find that spiritual moisture to be baptized with so that you can move forward and find healing. You ready for it? Here's the antidote. You can't just hear about God. You have to commune with God. And too often, we just hear about God. We hear about God from the preacher. We hear about God from our friends or from our family. But Job challenges us and says, if you want to move forward, you've got to commune with God. You've got to take your relationship up a notch. And you've got to spend time with God. Because when we spend time with God, God changes us and He transforms us. And just like Job, we find peace and we find comfort with the anger and the anxiety in our life, and we move forward. A comparison psalm to the book of Job is Psalm 131. This psalm is a very short psalm. It's only 3 verses. Let me read it to us. It says, my heart is not proud, O Lord, and my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. What the psalmist was saying was using the image of a child on its mother's lap. If you remember being a child, whenever you would skin your knee, you always wanted to run to your mama's lap, right? Why? It wasn't because your mother could fix the wound. I mean, she could kiss it. She could put a Band-Aid on it. But she couldn't fix it. So why did we go to our mother's lap? It's because in our mother's lap, we find peace and we find comfort from the one who loves us more deeply than anyone else. And I think what Job was trying to say in chapter 42 is that he is sitting in his father's lap and his soul is quieted and composed. Not because God has fixed all of his wounds, not because God's answered all of his questions, but because he is in a place of peace and comfort with the one who loves him more than anything else. And for all of us who have been cut down as a stump, who are looking for that scent of water, here's where it's found. You need to climb up in your father's lap. And you need to let your soul be quieted and composed and find the peace and comfort that is found in the lap of the one who loves you more than anyone else in this world. And then we can move on. the ending of Job, Job 42, God restores Job's life, condemns Job's friends for their erroneous theology. Job's family starts to surround themselves with Job again, bring some gifts, and God restores Job with all the wealth that he had in the past. In fact, twice as much wealth as he had in his past. Replaces the children with 10 more children. And some scholars wonder, why does Job end the book this way, or why does the story of Job end this way? Is it that God's taking back all that Job's learned and rewarding Job for his faithfulness? No, I don't think so. I like the words of D.A. Carson, where he said, what the ending of Job reminds us of is that suffering is never the final word in God's kingdom. And Job went through a time of suffering, and maybe you are going through that time as well. But Job's ending reminds us that someday there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And someday there's going to be no more tears, and there's going to be no more crying, and there's going to be no more pain, there's going to be no more suffering. But instead, we will be able to be face to face with our Savior Jesus Christ. And it's that hope, that anticipation in the future that sustains us in the present during our times when we're cut down by giving us hope, by giving us faith, by giving us submission to God. It gives us contentment and it helps us move forward no matter what we're going through. And that's our hope this morning. We're going to close this series by singing the song, Blessed Be Your Name. And I told Joe, I want to sing this song to close because these words are from the book of Job. They're Job's words. And I feel like I can sing this song a little bit better this morning, don't you? Because I've been with Job for a while. And I know what he went through. I know where these words come from. And I also know the hope that Job had. The peace and the comfort to move forward. And when we think about what Job went through and the hope that we have, that we're putting our faith in, we can sing with Job. You give and you take away, but my heart chooses to say, blessed be your name. We're going to stand and sing, and in just a moment, our ministers and elders will surround this auditorium. If we can pray with you, if we can encourage you, if you're going through a difficult time, we want to help you. If you want to be baptized into Christ, have your sins washed away, during this song, just come to the front. We'll help you do that. Let's stand. Let's sing the words of Job.